today we're gonna bracket down. You get it? You get it? You got the play on words? No, we're not. Because the NCAA tournament was canceled, and so we have been denied the opportunity to prognosticate, guess, and figure out who was going to be the one at the end with one shining moment. And while we're human and we can have an emotion about being sad about that not happening, we also are human and have compassion and understand that there are levels to the things that happens. So today's conversation that was initially intended to deal with the NCAA tournament on a sporting forum, we're going to actually talk about it on the other side, how the humans are affected about and how this sport event was altered. And so we're going to talk about the role of the athletes after this event, possible eligibility, and a lot of other points. And we're going to try to find a way to replace March Madness with something else to keep people entertained. So without further ado, I got some great guys that are about to help me. So let's go. And today on Voices, the goal was to talk about the NCAA bracket, which is the greatest thing that exists in all of March and April for people who don't want to do work. They have a boss button when you can watch it on the internet. It was the great way to reduce productivity and make you enjoy your work. But then Corona came and it altered life. And so what we decided to do is shift from talking about the actual bracket to talking about how it has affected sports, specifically the NCAA tournament. And then we're going to try to create something to have people come together so we can still have the same madness that we had before. So today I have JB, Billy, Christian, and River on the call. I'm going to let those guys introduce themselves because no one can introduce themselves better than themselves. So in this order, Jay, Billy, Christian, and River, I'll let you go.
Sure. Thanks, JB. I'm eating Rice-A-Rona, chilling with my Tenderona, trying to do the Macarona, and we're here podding. Let's go.
I got to follow that.
Good luck, bro.
Honestly, I'm Billy. I'm a high school soccer coach. I'm a mailman, so I get to deal with all the diseases and contagious stuff.
Okay. I'm Christian Huggins, college baseball athlete. Played ball with both Mr. Nesbitt and Billy.
Cool. And the last.
My name's River. I'm a former college lacrosse player, current firefighter and high school soccer coach for men and women's. And I substitute teach when I can. So looking forward to it.
I love the diversity of the phone call. I'm excited. This podcast is going to break up sort of the normal release schedule I have because I have a podcast already scheduled to come out on Wednesday, but this is going to come out just because of the Corona emergency. And so the first thing I want to do is I want to give Christian a lot of credit for helping me actually continue with this because my actual goal was to kind of cancel the whole podcast because the NCAA tournament was canceled. But Christian gave a solid, super idea of discussing how this affects student athletes and just the sort of the larger aspect of what the life of a student athlete is like for this. So the first thing I want to start off with is I'm actually going to talk about the tournament. I didn't watch a single second of college basketball, but I was going to fill out a bracket. Were you going to do that too?
I was going to do it just off of principle. I didn't watch a lot of basketball. I saw spots here. So the initial opening season tournaments, I caught flashes of. So Stanley Cassius out of Duke, I saw him ball a little bit because I followed him, his highlights online. So I caught a little bit of that. But to follow the entire season, I can't commit to saying I did that. So outside of from a men's side, from the women's side, I was dialed into the University of South Carolina and everything the ladies were doing start to finish. So really excited about their season and was looking forward to seeing not only them, but the young lady in Oregon and see what happens with them in the tournament.
Cool.
Yeah, I was actually planning on going to Greensboro either this weekend or next weekend for the ACC or the NCAA, but that got canceled. So, yeah, I always fill out a bracket, and usually I'm terrible at it, but I just wanted to do it out of fun.
All right.
Yeah, and I didn't watch a ton of college basketball. But, you know, our school, Queens University, we were planning to have our own D2, you know, March Madness, and we're normally pretty good. So that, but being in North Carolina, you know, you follow the UNC was terrible this year, and then Duke, you know, was kept always where they are.
So were you going to fill out a bracket?
I was planning. I usually I'm one of three brothers, so I usually join a group with the brothers in the family. We usually have a bracket pool at the fire department. You know, we always try to give each other a hard time with it. None of us are particularly good at filling out the bracket, but I think this year was going to be I was really looking forward to it. I don't think there's necessarily just one dominant team in the nation, so I think this year was going to be big for upsets. Unfortunate that it doesn't get to happen, but it was definitely something I had marked on my calendar.
All right, so I got a quick question about that. So the original proposal for the NCAA tournament, as with a lot of other sporting events, was they were going to play the games but with no fans. What do you think that would have done? I think, in my opinion, if they played it behind closed doors, the tournament would have been chalk. Like, every top seed would have won every game, and they would have just moved on. And it kind of would have been – it would have had less intrigue. So, River, I'll let you go, and then Christian, Billy, and then Jason.
You know, I don't mind the idea of playing the tournament with no fans strictly because it allows the guys and girls to get on the court and show what they've been working for the whole season. From a financial standpoint, as soon as I heard it, I had a hard time believing that they were going to be willing to do it. And you got to think of the money that the NCAA would lose on the merchandise, concessions, ticket sales in general. It was a hard buy for me, but it was something that I was hoping they were going to allow.
All right, Christian.
Yeah, you know what would have been interesting is how it would have affected the gameplay with as far as, you know, a lot of those schools who fans show up to a lot of those games. It would have been interesting how the teams play when the fans aren't there, when it's just the family, if that has some sort of dynamic with the games being played.
Yeah, Billy?
Yeah, I agree with River on the financial part. I thought as soon as they said no fans, it was going to lead to no tournament at all, because there's one thing we know about the NCAA is that they like their money. And but I do agree also with you that I think it would have been chalk, because you go to these games and, you know, like when Duke and Carolina are both playing at the same facility, but if Carolina wins, everybody stays around and they watch Duke play, but they always cheer for that other team. And I think that would have been something that would have been lost in the tournament.
All right. Jay?
I wish for the tournament one way or the other, because the momentum rolls. Sounds like everybody's a North Carolina person on the men's side.
No.
I'm a South Carolina guy. Oh, sorry. North Carolina as a state. As a state. Not a school. As a state. But I'm a South Carolina guy as a school. So I was looking forward to see the ladies, you know, get in there and do their thing. But the factor I would throw into it on any school going into either tournament, either it's conference or March Madness, that crowd momentum drives a different dynamic than no crowd. So when the momentum shifts, the crowd's a factor, and you won't get that when it's just your teammates, because your teammates are always going to push for you. You're always going to hear that. But the oohs, the ahs, and the other stuff, some players look for that. So I would miss it, but at the same time, I still want the students who put the work in all year long to continue to get that play to try for a championship, because right now we don't know if you get a shot or not. So that's where I stand. But I would say let's go for it. Let's play it out.
And so Christian actually brought up a point, and I'm again giving credit for it because it's not my idea.
And so, Christian, I'll actually let you go first on this one, too. So, a lot of these, it was unclear what they were going to do eligibility-wise for the athletes, because some of these guys, it's their senior year. Some of them, it's their last tournament. Some of them, especially for basketball, they're one-and-done guys. And so, this was it for them. And the, I think very few people thought about the effect on the student-athlete. Christian, I have you go first on what you think the effect on the student-athlete. So, Christian, Christian, Billy, River. Christian brought up the point that I thought was cool. He was like, hey, for some of these people, these athletes, it's their senior year, it's their last tournament. It's about going to the next level, graduation. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of the basketball players, they're one and done guys. So this tournament was really it, because a lot of them, I mean, and we were being honest, may not be academically eligible to continue at the university. So I wanted to get the perspective of what you guys thought about that and like what the NCAA should and maybe will do for the student athlete in regards to this. And so if Christian's on, he'll go first. If he's not, then I have Billy, River, and then JB.
Yeah, so can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so for the spring athletes, NCAA has already given eligibility to the spring athletes. I personally don't see it happening for the winter athletes, considering they played their regular season. So, you know, for the basketball guys and things like that, it'll have effects in the draft. You know, how do teams how do they pick these guys without seeing them in pressure situations like a conference tournament or you know, March Madness? But we personally at school, we all got the email. It's like, okay, everybody has to go home. Our seasons are done. It was almost like a you don't know how to react type of thing. You know, we all knew in May we'd all be done, so we were preparing for then. And then all of a sudden it happens in 30 minutes. You almost don't know what to do because you've been training for 6 months for your season and then it's cut short. So I think it has a strong effect on, you know, which basketball players are coming back for their sophomore season instead of going to the draft, or those guys who get that year of eligibility back, but they won't be back to school because they presumably still need to take courses. So there's a lot of layers of effect that it's going to have. And, you know, it's really just kind of an unfortunate situation and consequence of what's going on.
All right. River?
Yeah. From my kind of point of view, I was actually at a party last night with a lot of the Belmont Abbey guys. They're calling it their farewell tour. The biggest concern I'm hearing from them is on the lacrosse side of things, and I'm sure on the baseball side of things as well, you have a lot of guys who have been there for 4 years. The one-and-done situation is not as prominent. You have a lot of guys who have been there for 4, maybe 5 years with a red shirt in there who – I spoke more to the guys from north of the border, the Canadian guys who were coming down and playing. They're kind of baffled at the moment. They've worked real hard to get in the position they are. Belmont Abbey was 7-0 and already had four top 20 national rank wins. So I mean, they were kind of on top of the world, and then all of a sudden their season's done. Belmont Abbey is not a cheap place to go to school. So even with that extra year of eligibility being granted, you have a lot of guys who are kind of on the fence because do they want to pay another year of tuition with it being a spring sport? That's a fall and spring semester. So it's I don't if I was in that situation, I'm not sure I would be willing to come back for another year, even with the love of the game, just because of the financial responsibility.
All right, cool. Billy?
Yeah, that was actually the point I was going to make is, you know, not all these guys get the full rides. Not everybody even gets a partial. They have to walk on. They have to pay their own way. And so those guys are probably the ones that are in the biggest bind because, as Christian said, within 30 minutes, you go from getting ready for the next game to all of a sudden everything's done. And it's kind of one of, I think, the lost things in this whole thing is that you're not just having a season end, you're having careers end. And I don't know if this is something you're going to talk about later, but even on the high school side, mm-hmm. In this state, they have suspended play until April the 6th at the earliest. And so, thankfully, our season's over.
Yours is.
We have – well, yeah, mine is, yeah. Sorry about that, River. But our conference has decided we're supposed to play 14 games. The girls are. And the conference has decided the first half of that season is already cut out. They're not making it up at all. And so that's at the bare – that's the max that they're going to play. And so we have kids that – same thing at this level. 4 years have been working as hard as they can, trying to get to the state championship, and all of a sudden their dreams are cut short, and they don't even get that opportunity at the next level. So it's something that's trickled down to all levels, and it's just something that's hard to watch and hard to explain to some of these kids.
Wow, Jay.
Yeah. So I have a question on it with everybody. So when you talk about the people who have, I'm going to start with college first. The guys who got the eligibility to go to come back a next year or do whatever, or individuals who are the one and done. Do you believe or feel that the scouts have enough, you know, information, video to make a good assessment to say, I'm going to take XYZ player, whether they're a one and done or they put their time in as far as a red shirt or, you know, this their last shot, this was their senior year. Do you think they put the time in and have the video enough to give a scout that's sitting back in their chair enough material to say, you know what, regardless of what's going on and regardless of that they didn't get a chance to get that hot moment in their senior season or in a tournament, that I have enough tape to say, hey, you're good enough to come to the next level, let's give you a shot? And the reason why I ask that is, from a sports standpoint, I can't speak to that. But from an HR and I'm hiring you to a corporation standpoint, I'm hiring strictly off potential. And in most assessments, that's what sports people are doing. They're hiring off potential. Because you can be the best pick a sport person in the world, but you get to that next level and you can flame out. And we've seen number one picks who've done absolutely nothing in their respective league, and we've seen seventh round picks become Hall of Famers. So in any league, so we own that. So back to the main question: do you think that there's enough video, there's enough resume for guys who don't get to finish today's season to still shine enough to get to the next level?
I don't have an answer.
I think basketball, you probably have enough. I think where it changes it is maybe where they get drafted. I mean, you talk about mm-hmm. you talk about Frank the Tank with the Hornets having, you know, he had the tournament he did, and probably one of the reasons he got drafted as high as he did. But that kind of goes away now, so. I mean, I don't know about the board before the season. I feel like the college basketball board doesn't change a whole lot over the course of a season. Maybe a little bit here and there, but not yep. tremendously. Baseball, the D1 guys mm-hmm. they played less than a quarter of their season. So I think that draft will be interesting because you have a quarter of a season of stats to look at, and you can't really look at that and have a clear picture of who you want to pick. Interesting.
Yeah, a lot of spring sports guys haven't even started the competitive part of their schedule yet. They're still in the kind of non-conference, or I call them fluffer games. But I think I agree with Christian on the basketball side of things. I feel like a lot of those guys, especially the ones who are going into senior years and stuff like that, you kind of have a feel. Frank the Tank obviously had an incredible March Madness, and it boosted his draft stock, but it's at the end of the day, he was still going to be a drafted player. I think that's where you get in with baseball and with – I'm not even going to throw lacrosse into there because most people don't even know there is professional lacrosse. But with baseball, you have so many different options. So, like, with the Triple A's and the organizations having branch teams and that kind of stuff, they see a lot of kids. So I feel like the more numbers they can see on a certain prospect – would definitely be beneficial for them. I do think that will hurt some who don't get the opportunity to have more games on their stat sheet going into the draft situation.
Cool.
True. Let's talk about baseball and lacrosse real quick. So right now, in the snapshot of today, when you look at the landscape of both respective sports from a college standpoint, baseball and lacrosse, is there not a clear cut, hey, this guy is a first rounder, no doubt? Do you have that person in that sport right now that you can honestly see and name right now? You don't have to say their name, but do you know who that person
lacrosse,
is?
I'd say so.
Either one of you.
For baseball?
Yeah. So for baseball?
Probably, but it's interesting because you can get drafted out of high school.
Yeah.
But they don't have that high school season now, so that changes it too.
But even still, we're like from baseball, but like you know, we've seen that. Like we'll see kids get drafted, like you mentioned, drafted out of high school. Like where the hell did this Derek Jeter kid come from? Where does Alex Rodriguez kid come from? Because I remember when A-Rod got picked out of high school early on. I was like, who, what, when, where? And then Jeter at the same time, but with both of those, they'll find the talent. And to back up what I'm saying from initially, so all these tournaments across all these sports all get canceled. The scouts,
if you're good,
the scouts will find you. If they're a good scout. Yeah, yeah. Now, lacrosse, you brought up a good point. Not many people know there's a lacrosse professional league. But lacrosse is one of those sports where it's gaining traction.
Yeah, you get
it's just not on ESPN yet because
ESPN. They buzz of the integrate that a little bit.
Right. Exactly. And then it takes historians to break down it. Like, okay, there's some great football players that got their name playing lacrosse. And then to your point, it takes ESPN to kind of push it even further. And then it takes locals to be like, you know what? Lacrosse might be a thing because my kid's not a football player, but he's a hitter. And he can do X, Y, Z with his hands, but he's not a basketball guy. So here's the next sport. But it's a process, but it's a process that's increasing. I'll say that.
Billy?
And then what I think, Kristen, if I'm correct about this, college baseball – the player can declare to go pro either out of high school or 3 years in, right? So I think this really puts more difficulty on the high school player that could be the star, but now he may have to make that decision to play because there may not be that tape on him. There may not be all this extra stuff on him. And I think that's one of the things I think on the recruiting side. This was the time of the AAU circuits for basketball, where a lot of the kids get their recognition. On the on the soccer side, we have the same thing with club. And now all of a sudden, these kids aren't going to get those looks. They're not going to get those same. They're not going to get all these people looking at them. I know, like the Nike circuit, I think is canceled already. The McDonald's All Star Game is canceled. So this, I feel like, for this particular recruiting class coming up, those who haven't committed yet, I think this makes it a lot more difficult on them.
Those are amazing points that I didn't think about any of those things. That's awesome. So, continuing with that, JB gave me another point that I thought was really good, even though I want to give you some breaking news. Apparently, Xbox Live is down while people are under quarantine. So if you hear about gamers losing their minds, it's because the Xbox Live is down. But back to
Oh, God help us
all. Oh, I'm playing Xbox right now.
So, JB sent me an article that I got to browse on. The NCAA, like Billy was saying, and River kind of alluded to it as well. I think Christian kind of talked about it. They were considering doing a 16-team tournament in place of the 64-team tournament because I guess they wanted to crown a winner. So, JB, I'll actually let you start off because you have the most information on it. And then I'll have Billy, River, and then Christian chime in on the idea.
So, yeah, that article came out. So it's all speculation, rumor, nothing official. But, you know, to kind of keep things short, tight, and quarantined, the idea was to go and, you know, time frame of venues, et cetera, go 16 versus the full, you know, 64, 66, however you want to slide it in there. For me, it's whatever we can do, it'll work, because the argument that I got into was at the end of the season, from a women's standpoint, they got through their tournament. From a men's standpoint, it didn't quite start yet. But we both have who's nationally ranked from a NCAA basketball standpoint. Who's the number one on the men's and women's side? Oh, crown them champions. Here's my argument with that. It's, you know, the national champion person, yeah, but it's the coaches and the AP that votes for who's number one. And it's the NCAA that crowns the champion based off of their success in the NCAA tournament. So if the NCAA was to say, okay, the coach AP poll, you're number one, you're it, it shows favoritism, even though, you know, well, this organization that we all sign up for says you're number one, you got to play the tournament. Because we've seen when they seed out the tournament, we've seen number ones fall. And it's happened very recently because Virginia, even though they've won recently, they lost as a number one seed before. And there's been other number one seeds that have lost. And there's been 16 seeds that have advanced to the Sweet 16, things like that. So the tournament brings a different dynamic than anything else. So to say that, oh, we're going to cut it off and say, oh, because you're number one, you're the champ. There's some people say, yeah, that's right. Some people can say, hey, no, because if I got a dog in the fight and my dog is ready to hunt with these last few games of the season, regardless of where they came from, they got a shot because the school that comes from this small, you know, division or Ivy League or Ohio Valley or whatever, when you get in that tournament, all I need is 6 wins. And we've proven I can win 6 games where I came from. I can beat whoever's in front of me. And here's a good example. No one saw George Mason do the dynamic they did. No one saw Florida Gulf Coast do the dynamic they did. And Valparaiso was the blueprint of the Cinderella in the last, I'll say, 15 years. And they were scaring a whole lot of people and were making moves. So the tournament, the NCAA tournament, brings a different dynamic, a different magic. And it impacts not only schools but players because there's this kid from Robbins, Illinois that I personally like. And I wouldn't have heard of him had he not balled out in his NCAA tournament when he played for Marquette. And in my personal opinion, he's the third greatest shooting guard in NBA history. And he recently retired and dropped the single that I enjoy so much, but I'm digressing way too far. So, backing it all up, I think a tournament is necessary. If it's 32, if we go 16, that's cool, but then the question mark gets which 16, but even still, give the kids a shot to say, or showcase their talent is where I'm going to. Give a kid the shot to showcase their talent.
Well, first, I think that shooting guard from Marquette, he's not the best at judging a dunk contest.
Oh my God. But
get your opinion on it. Go ahead.
I just don't know how the logistics at this point of how they could have done anything. I would have liked to have seen them delay it a couple weeks, sort of like what the state's doing here, and just see what happens. And then, yeah, as you said, if they're going to reduce it, reduce it. I just feel like as crazy as it is trying to figure out who 68 are, that 16 is going to be a nightmare, because then you're going to have those like 16, those teams like from about 13 to 20, and you could say, well, this team beat that team, this team, and all that stuff. And I think that'd just be a nightmare. I mean, we already have that as it is on the college football side with 8 teams. So then you got to figure out where it's going to be played, how many people can come watch, all that stuff. And I just think at this point, since they made the decision so quick, I don't know if it could be logistically possible to be done.
All right, Christian?
I think the only option at this point is just to have them all wear hazmat suits and play the tournament. I mean, that would be
pretty I'm sure yes, sir. Viewership too.
All right.
Yeah, I'm kind of on par with Billy there. The seating would be impossible. It'd be a nightmare. It already is, and they have a lot more options. How they could narrow it down to a 16 would be – I mean, I'd love to see it because it'd be an absolute train wreck and it'd be entertaining. But it wouldn't – there would be teams who felt like they got shafted, and probably deservingly so. So it'd be tough. I do think they kind of snap-called a little bit when they canceled everything straight up. I feel like that was almost a pressure decision. I would have liked to have seen them kind of postpone a bit until things died down. I mean, it's called March Madness, but I don't necessarily think people would mind if it got bumped a month if we could get an outright champion out of it. I'm sure there's some kind of logistical reasoning why they didn't do that, but it still would have been nice to be able to put a champion on the season.
You know, I'm going to add a point because I didn't have an opinion at the beginning, but now I kind of have a little bit of one, because the point that I've seen most of you make is the seeding part. And so I feel like, I mean, the first thing is some of the two conferences for the men's side finished their conference tournament. So I would say if you won your conference tournament, got an automatic bid, boom, you get in. And then every other conference champion gets in, and that's it. I don't see, like, because then it's not about rankings anymore. If you get your conference title regular season, then you're in the tournament. So I don't know if that necessarily
– that's actually how they used to do it a long time ago. But now there are so many conferences as well. So then you don't – I'm not sure how many exactly there are. But actually back in the 70s, like when NC State won in 74, they had to beat Maryland to get to the NCAA tournament. And Maryland was like the number 3 team in the nation. Well, Maryland didn't make it into the tournament.
That's where it gets tough. You have teams who could be number 1 in the nation who drop a game in a conference tournament. They had one bad game. So you're telling them they don't deserve to make it to the NCAA tournament off of one poor showing.
Oh, no, I was talking about regular season. I wouldn't even say I'm playing the conference tournament. Just like you take your regular season champions, because that they're crowned unless there's like a tie. And then you just go from there. But it would have been chaos anyway. But you also made me think of a point, going back to Christian's point about the student life, athlete's life. So we did a whole other podcast about this. Well, we didn't, but I did one about scholarship athletes and how to get a quote-unquote free education. So I want to actually bring that point back up, because I saw something where Davidson College refunded the students their tuition, because they weren't going to they prorated the refund of their tuition for the rest of the semester. I don't know if other colleges and universities have done that, but if that is indeed the case where you talk about student athletes getting free quote-unquote educations, then how do you handle the financial side of that for the student athlete from that? Because, I mean, if you're canceling, this is at spring break. So literally half of the semester for sure is left. So what do you do for those quote-unquote people who were getting a free education? So, Christian, if you want to go first, I have you go first, and then we'll have Billy, JB, and then River.
Yeah, so I know our school is – they're only prorating room and board and, like, the dining hall and all that. They're not doing any tuition because we moved – we're fully online now, which is still a nightmare because we have so many international students. So, like, I'm doing a group project, with this girl who now has to go back home to Switzerland, and I have to coordinate across time zones, which is nearly impossible to coordinate in the same time zone. So, I mean, I don't see many schools doing what Davidson did. But it's just a bad consequence of the situation.
All right.
Yeah, I was talking with somebody today whose son was in Madrid when they announced the travel ban, and he goes to NC State. And this was his spring break. His spring break, his senior year, was a trip to Spain, and they had to cancel it a day and a half in. And I know they said his journey home was from, like, Madrid to Berlin to Mexico City to Vegas to Charlotte. And so, in addition to all that, all the financial burdens at the college, they had to pay, like, $5,000 to get him home. And I just don't see any – I don't know how they're going to figure this out. It's just a night – it's ridiculous all around, and I don't know if there is a good answer.
All right, JB?
Yeah, I had the same dynamic from a frat brother. He had to pay about $3,000 to get his son, who was studying abroad, back home. And like was just said, it's a nightmare to try to do that. It's bad all the way around when you think about it, because people are getting stretched thin on finances that they didn't expect to happen based off of a third party decision. And when I say third party, governmental, environmental, however you want to slice it. No one expected this to happen, but now it's putting a strain on everybody, depending on, no matter how you look at it. So it's tough to deal with, and I don't want to put a point of finger at, because that's not where we're at now. We got to look at our individual situations and how do I help, you know, the human next
all right. River
is where yeah, we're at. Actually, one of my best friends, you and Billy actually both coached him at some point, Brandon Henderson. He is in Scotland right now studying abroad, and he's being sent home this coming week. And for him, it's essentially losing a semester of college because he wasn't enrolled in classes at ECU and taking them in Scotland. He was enrolled in classes at a college in Scotland. So with him having to leave, all that he's done there is pretty much null and void at this point. He's pretty much done a half semester of work that's not going to count towards anything once he gets back stateside. So he's enjoyed the experience of seeing another country, but at the end of the day, it's ended up being a pretty large waste of time and money for him.
Jeez, man. So I do want to add a little point, because I did a podcast the other day. No, yesterday, about a politics one. We're not going to talk about politics, but what I did say in the politics podcast was that the United States and sort of many modernizing countries have been fighting remote work, AI, and drones. And I think that this virus is literally forcing all of those things to happen, and those businesses who were really old-fashioned and were keeping employees that they maybe didn't need to keep, when those people return back to work, I think that you're going to see a big difference in the workforce. It's going to be a modernization that people may not be ready for. And I think Amazon, clearly because they do drones and they have a lot of AI and they do remote stuff, you're going to see a big shift there, and you're going to have to see a shift of people becoming more sort of technologically sound. Also, there's a lot of online buying. So, I mean, if we want a conspiracy theory, which we can if we want to, but I'm not, is Amazon actually created the coronavirus so that Amazon can make more money and Jeff Bezos could be the first person to make $1 trillion. That's my theory. So on a real side, though, the next thing is, I think, Billy, you really added a good point. The high school effect. Didn't think about that either. So, like, and River, you would know, what effect is this having it on high school? So, Billy, you first, River, JB, and then Christian.
I think River might actually be the best one to go first, because he was supposed to be coaching right now. My season is over, so I'm going to actually let him go first on this.
Yeah, I'm right in the middle of it right now. The communication side of everything from the state to the county and the county to the individual coaches wasn't necessarily great. It was all somewhat flustered. I had girls blowing me up on the Remind 101 trying to figure out if indeed their season had been postponed. And I hadn't even gotten an email about it yet. So once I was able to confirm that and all, it was not a fun conversation to have with my girls' team. My girls' team started off 2-1 this season. I have a senior who this is her first time ever being able to play on the same team as her freshman sister. I've had a lot of very, very emotional phone calls with a couple different girls. Because we're still in that point of uncertainty. We don't know once April 6th happens, do we take away all the non-conference games and just play the conference games so we can still get a state tournament done? Are they going to axe the full season? Are we going to delay things? I mean, there's a lot of what-ifs that are happening. We don't even know if coaches are getting paid right now. It's honestly, it's something so unprecedented that no one really knows what to think. And, I mean, I feel for these girls because there's a couple very talented girls teams in the state of North Carolina. And you have some teams that have kind of been building up this dynasty that may not be able to see the pitch for the rest of the season strictly. And it's not anything they can control or the coaches can control or athletic directors or even county athletic directors. It's all going to come from the state level. So, I mean, it's honestly, it's been devastating. Parents who have supported a program for 4 years, you can't help but kind of feel like they're being gypped. It's been really tough so far.
Yeah, all right. And on our side, the closest thing we've had to this was about a year and a half ago. We had a hurricane hit the eastern part of the state. And for about 2 or 3 weeks, nobody on the eastern half of the state was able to play, but we were on the western side. And when the playoffs came, they basically just hurried something up. It's like they didn't have anything planned. And that's my one worry right now is that there's no contingency plan. We ended up having to play 4 soccer games in a period of 7 days, which is insane. And then on the football side, they pushed everything back a week, and it actually helped them out. They did not do that for us.
Of course,
so
they
had to do. Yeah, they had to do us. The championship winner had to play 6 games in a period of about 13 or 14 days. And I just don't know. I mean, that was just one sport. You're talking about, I don't know, 6 or 7 different sports at this point. I don't know what the plan is. It seems like baseball is doing one thing. Soccer is doing another thing. Track, who knows? So it almost sounds like that the state made this mandate for this particular state, and then they're kind of almost making the athletic directors make the decisions from there. And I don't know if there's a coordinated effort, and I'm confused on the outside looking in. So I can't imagine the situation Rivers got.
Jay?
I'm going to agree with everybody else on what they're saying because they got a frontline vision of it all, influence of it all. So I'm going to co-sign what everyone else says as far as the impact on a local standpoint.
All right, Kristen?
And, you know, you hate what it does for high school athletes as far as getting recruited or not. I remember how emotional I was after I finished my high school career, and these guys are 3 or 4 games in, and they're told they're being done. So now if they had aspirations to play in college, likely much harder of a road than it was before. So, you know, to reiterate what we've been saying, it's just a terrible – bad logistical thing that we're going to have to figure out or not figure out, I guess.
All right, so I got a question that was firm from that, and so I have JB, Christian, Billy, then River. Do we value sports too much? Because just listening to a lot of this stuff, it seems like sports is really, really important. Is it too important?
Two prong, yes and no. So in my personal research, I've seen it two prong. So you go all the way back to the Colossus of Rome. So it was designed and built to bring attention to that air quote sport to draw attention away from what's going on in real life. So in the Colossus of Rome, hey, see, you know, the gladiators, you know, do X, Y, Z so I can draw attention away from we're trying to conquer this portion of the world. And so that's what sport, if you will, was derived from. In today, sport is now entertainment, another air quote, because you have the competition, you have everything else, but it draws you away from politics. It draws you away from, you know, social issues, et cetera, et cetera. So the entertainment of sport, although the piece of sport brings additional value, my personal belief, it brings values, it brings, you know, competition, it develops character in the individuals that participate in it. So sports has a value, I believe, but it also has a distraction from those who dial into sport but don't dial into anything else. So you have somebody that's a diehard, pick a sport, pick a team, pick a college, that's all they breathe, sleep, and everything else. But you ask them what's going on in Botswana in 1999, they have no clue. Or in 2006, they don't know what's going on. But they can recite to you the 1981 Clemson championship team starting lineup. So you have those dynamics that go with it. Flip side, you have someone that can tell you every president start to finish and the opposing candidate, but can't tell you who won the Super Bowl yesterday. So it's one of those things where sports has its positive and negatives.
I think I said Chris, go second.
Yeah, no, everything he said made complete sense as far as, especially in America, how much we value sports and how you got the AAU. Basically, since you're once you're a little kid until, you know, you're a college athlete, that's all you really know, and that's what defines you. I've found myself, like, not knowing what to do because we're not doing classes and I'm not playing baseball. So I'm like, that's when I realized that I need to find another hobby because I didn't know. Like, I just – so many hours were into sport and – it is a little bit of a wake-up call.
All right, Billy?
Yeah, I think at a lower level for sports, I feel like some people, I think almost, I don't know if it's just you want to think that, like some people say about, you know, going back and living and recreating your childhood. I think some people do that. But for me, sports are the thing that kind of changed my life and kind of helped me find the right purpose. And so I feel like at a smaller level, at a lower level, in the high school, you know, amateur level, I guess, that's something that's taken away from these kids and through nothing that they've done on their own. On the higher up, me personally, I am miserable not having sports on TV. And I am looking on my TV guide right now, and I am looking at shows, and I've never heard of any of these things. And quite honestly, I don't want to watch any of them. So, as Christian said, I need to find something better to do besides just sitting here watching sports all the time. I think this is an opportunity for people to find something different. Maybe, as JB said, kind of realize what else is going on around the world, because as he said, I am that guy who can tell you the starting lineup for 13, 20 years ago. I'm also the guy that can tell you all the president stuff. So I know all this. I have all this random knowledge about God knows what. But I think this is an opportunity to where we can realize that, hey, there are other things in the world. And that's a perspective I don't think a lot of us have.
River!
Yeah, you know, sports in America now, I think that's such a broad topic. There's so many different aspects of it, even when you take apart the levels of it and everything. And, you know, this could be somewhat of a hot take. I'd be interested to hear Billy's opinion on this just from what he's seen in his area. I'm a sports fanatic. You can catch me watching any type of sport. Doesn't matter. I feed off the competition aspect of it. I can say right now, though, youth sports, I have a serious love-hate relationship with, and it's all across the country, in my opinion. I think we as a people put so much value into athletes becoming college athletes and professional athletes that we have taken so much fun out of the game. And I think that goes universally with all sports. I have to deal with freshmen now who I have to try to teach a different type of soccer from the club coach that they've had for 10 years.
I understand.
Any coach knows what I'm talking about. But I'm not saying that children and the athletes shouldn't strive to be the best version that they can be. But I fell in love with sports as a young child because of the competition and the adrenaline rush that came with it and being able to go out with your boys and play against another team that thought they were just as good, if not better. That's what made me fall in love with sports. So when I see and I hear kids talking right now about, well, I don't know if I want to play with my high school because I'm not going to get the same looks that I do playing with an academy squad, it hurts my heart because I think –
where's the offering plate? I'm sorry.
I think at a high school side, that's your – you, a lot of times you've been going to those high school football games for years. You should be proud of what you're wearing on the left side patch of your chest. And I feel like we've overhyped so much of the college and professional style that the basic sports are kind of being for granted.
Yeah,
I'm with it, man. I'm passing the offering plate on all of that. Go ahead, Billy.
That academy versus high school thing, that just brought back nightmares for me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's something we deal with on an almost daily basis because, if you play academy, you can't play high school while you're in the academy. But that's something that I've had to hear about a lot over the last couple of years. I do think the team I had this year kind of helped me realize why I'm coaching so much, because they were that team that wanted just to win. They wanted to be together. And
your team was a great example of that.
Yeah. Yeah, we were. And I've been in places before, and actually probably back when me and Nesbitt coached together at a certain high school, where you had all these parents that wanted to control everything. You had all these people that wanted you to, as you said, River, play the game their way. And what they don't realize sometimes is their way isn't necessarily the best way. And I feel like what I'm hoping comes out of this on that side, on the youth side, is that people appreciate the sport that they're playing and understand that they don't have all the time in the world, and that little Johnny's not going to be able to do this or that unless they have the right people around him. And I don't know what it's going to look like after this, if people are going to say, hey, enjoy the experience, or, as you said, River, if they're going to say, hey, we're just trying to get offers, we're trying to get looks. And I think that's a big unknown from this whole thing.
Well, I want to just chime in for a couple of things before I ask. I got two more questions left. First, Christian did a baseball podcast with me, and it's still coming out. It'll just be earlier than the season, but it's still coming out. He did a great job, and he actually talks about his project, so you should listen to that. Second, I did a podcast with I know River and Christian both know Emily. She's a cheerleader for the Charlotte Hornets, which you mean she's – well, not now because, you know, the NBA is postponed. But she actually talked about youth sports, and she mirrored what she was talking about when she was talking about coaching girls cheerleading. So she has a similar point, so it's a sort of a universal theme. But I want to go to the point of finding solutions. So because this is March Madness, and it's the 15th of March, so we are aware and be wearing the Ides of March. What can we offer for people in the masses to do to replace the NCAA tournament bracket? Because that's the plan. Because whatever we come up with, I will make a webpage, and we will follow this until the early April for whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's online tic-tac-toe. But we are going to create a tournament to fix this issue because, I mean, we could have a dodgeball tournament virtually on the Ocho, but we're going to do something. So, go first, JB, Billy, give me your suggestions of what we can do to replace the NCAA tournament bracket for ourselves.
Oh, I was going to get the neighborhood kids together, and we're going to just play pickup basketball in my front yard, and, you know, whatever neighborhood wins, wins. So I got, you know, my block, the block neighboring me on left and right. We'll get some kids on the other side. Yeah. We're just going to have a neighborhood tournament, you know, best, you know, pick up ball to 11. Whoever wins, wins. And all the kids' dads have to, you know, put their money up.
Okay, okay.
You think your neighborhood's the best. Let's go. We ready.
All right, Christian.
I love the brackets for, like, you know, like, what's the best food place? You know, there'll be cookout on there. Just coming up with ideas of maybe, like, you know, like a bracket for, like, the best book you've read or something, like, absolutely ridiculous.
All right.
Well, before you get too far, because Christian brought up a good point, let my neighborhood put a Best Reds bracket up. I'm ready, and I'm
giving
the crown right now. I'm ready. I am ready. Best rhythm.
Billy.
I'm trying to think of something, but I just there was a story I saw. I think it was yesterday. Ronaldinho, the soccer player, got arrested in Paraguay for having a fake documents. And so they had a soccer tournament in the prison, and the winner got a pick. And I'm at the point where I would watch that. So if we could have some, you know, Paraguay in prison soccer. I have a tournament, put it on TV, make a bracket, I will watch.
I feel like you can't get coronavirus in jail. I think they already have all the other viruses, so you probably could do that. River?
You know, I saw the people were live betting on marble races. That was new for me. You know, it was actually I can't say I didn't watch about 10 minutes of it. It was, you know, anything. People are so addicted to the gambling aspect of sports now, which, you know, I think it's great. I think it's a great way to for companies to make money and stuff, but they just need something to bet on. I know the, like, the Barstool guys, they were talking about the marble bets, but when Billy suggested prison soccer, that we could have our own little, like, you know, the old video game, the Blitz video games. They had a nice prison football league in there. You know, they're already in close quarters. I don't see what the worst could happen.
Hey, man, that's another way for them to make a two more cents or whatever.
I saw something on DraftKings today. They had a free contest based on performance from the Democratic debate tonight.
Wow.
That's where we are tonight.
Which guy goes to the wheelchair first?
I think it was like whether Bernie would say millionaire or billionaire first.
Well, gentlemen, we've reached a point where we have our final thought. And I love having you guys on. You guys have all contributed in the past. I thank you for continuing to contribute, and hopefully we will continue in the future. The podcast is called Voices because it's about your voice. So what we're going to do is you can have your final thought about anything you want. It can be about the topic we're talking about or anything that's on your heart. We'll start backwards. So I'll have River go first. Christian, Billy, and then JB, you will close the show.
I'll start us off. Liverpool should still win the league. If they don't win the league, I'm going to riot. Because, you know, Premier League's been stalled in Europe. But we are so much better than everyone else. So if we do not win the league, I'm going to boycott everything. Go support your local recreational sports once they get back going. You don't always have to watch things on TV. Go be a part of your community and you love one another, right?
There it is. All right.
Yeah. So my final take is just I hope everybody comes out stronger than before. Maybe, like we were talking earlier, gain some more values and do you know, whether family dynamics or a new hobby, things like that. So I hope all countries come out stronger than they were.
All right.
Well, I second River on the Liverpool thing. So hopefully that works out well for us. And other than that, you know, a lot of people are being impacted by this, whether it's by disease, whether it's by being sick, or just financially with the businesses, like especially the small businesses around here. So I hope people support them. Our athletic program, we're supposed to have two big fundraisers coming up. So East Lincoln Athletic Boosters would take any money that would be sent their way. But other than that, just support each other, help each other out. Wash your hands and stop buying toilet paper.
All right, and JB closes out, man.
For sure. Christian, River, Billy, hey, I appreciate all three of you supporting my brother Lou in all aspects, whether it be him being your coach, him being your partner. So thank you for supporting him, and I encourage you all to continue your journey on your endeavors that you're doing individually. Also, you know, I read in a book somewhere that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So I wish you all good health, good wealth, including your families and everyone that's seen you touch you and you touch them. So good prosperity there. And Lou, you know what we do. Hey, we're going to ride this thing on out.